I thought we would continue our theme of motherhood and looking at this aspect of life for this evening. Of course, this morning we looked at a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And we looked at the incredible importance of fearing God. And actually, that's a message for all of us, fearing God, and that being so important. But tonight, I thought it would be just interesting or helpful if we looked into the scriptures and looked at just a couple other aspects of motherhood. One thing that I believe is very key and very important for us to understand is, yes, the Bible emphasizes fathers, men. You see that time and time throughout the scriptures. The reference is usually masculine. There's mention of fathers, but not so many mothers. There is a heavy focus on that. Now, that's ultimately due to cultural understanding, but also, yes, God's design as far as family structure is concerned, the father is the flag bearer, the one that goes in the forefront. And so, therefore, you will see a lot of fathers in the forefront. But it's not that the Bible is silent on women. It definitely speaks to them and to mothers. And I just want to look a little bit tonight at that some of the things that God speaks about mothers. First of all, I'd like us to just contemplate one of the Ten Commandments. It goes like this, and we've been learning the Ten Commandments in our family worship time as a family. And do you guys remember you remember the commandment that talks about a mother? What is it? Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Exodus 20:12. Now, why do I bring that up? I bring that up for this very important reason, that honoring your mother is just as important as honoring your father. And we must not forget that important truth, that God views the authority of a mother in the family structure as very valuable and puts her right there, right alongside the father, as worthy of honor from her children. With that in mind, I want us to take a look, and we're going to look at several ladies' lives tonight, and we're going to look at the influence that a mother has on her children. It is really quite profound, both negatively and positively, the influence that a mother has upon her children. As you have shared testimony tonight, as I have shared as well, the memories and the things that we think of when we think of our mothers speaks of their influence that they've had in our lives. And of course, we don't normally talk about the negative things, and that's good, that is fine, but there are probably some things in our lives that maybe our mothers have done that negatively influenced us. Maybe not. But regardless, our mothers have played a very large role in being who we are today. God uses our mothers to help shape us. So the influence of a mother yields great power in the lives of children. So first of all, let's go to Genesis chapter 25. We're going to march through several ladies' lives tonight. In Genesis chapter 25, Isaac took for his wife Rebekah, and they had two children, twins. Those children's names were what? Jacob and Esau. Who was the older? Young people, who was the oldest? Jacob or Esau? Esau, very good. Esau was the oldest. Now, looking at Genesis 25, let's look at verse 28. It reads this way, "And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob." Now that's an interesting family dynamic. Dad loves Esau, mom loves Jacob. Now I can't really explain how they worked all this out. How did they eat supper together? You know, how did they travel together? How did they communicate? Why was it so? But nevertheless, the scripture makes a point of telling us Rebekah loved Jacob. Now go to chapter 26, and you're familiar with the story. In chapter 26, actually go to 27, sorry, chapter 27, verse 6. And remember, and Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock, and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver. And I shall bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, now listen to this. His mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son, only obey my voice, and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And the story continues on. We're familiar with it. We've heard it in Sunday school. And what we see here is deception, right? I mean, it was very clear that it was Isaac's purpose to bless his eldest son Esau, but Rebekah sought to usurp that and have Jacob, the one she loved, to receive the blessing. So she took matters into her own hands, and she deceived her own husband, and in the midst of that brought her son right along with her. Think of the influence and the message that spoke to her son Jacob. The matter of deception and even deceiving the very ones that you love, your family. You see, a mother yields great power and has great influence over her children. Yes, that is true. Why is it important we understand that? It's important we understand that so that we live an honest life before our children. So that we are open and men and women of integrity. That our children understand the importance of being honest. That they will see mom, that they will see you dad, telling the truth, speaking the truth, living the truth, even when it may be difficult. Now we know in this story that God worked, and God did work through Jacob. And in fact, Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and he had the 12 sons, and they became the 12 tribes of Israel. And all through it, God, yes, used these people. But nevertheless, what we see here is very clear. They understood they were being deceptive. Well, that's Rebekah. Now we're going to go to Athaliah. Does that name ring a bell? Athaliah. She was a mother of one of the kings of Judah. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 22. 2 Chronicles chapter 22. 2 Chronicles 22, verse 1, And the inhabitants of Jerusalem made Ahaziah, his youngest son, king in his stead. For the band of men that came with the Arabians to the camp had slain all the eldest. So Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, reigned. 42 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Athaliah, the daughter of Omri. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. Did you, any of you catch how old this man was? 42 years old. 42 years old he began to reign as king of Judah. But his counselor was his mother. And the Bible teaches that his mother counseled him in wickedness. Wickedness. He walked in the ways of the house of Ahab. And of course, Ahab, being one of the worst kings of the king of the northern tribe, it is not a good thing for you to have that kind of description. Now, of course, what this all meant, this wickedness, mainly centered around idolatry and the worship of Baal. And so, with this in mind, the king Ahaziah, this 42-year-old man, was incredibly influenced by his mother for wickedness, for idolatry, for leading an entire nation in ways that were contrary to that of God. You see, we as parents, mothers, fathers, the way we worship, who we worship, our children will see it. They will watch it. They will many times mimic what they see in the way we worship and who we worship. I believe that Athaliah, this mom here, understood very well the influence she had over her son, and she kept herself very close. Why? Oh, because it bode well to be the mother of a king. And why not exert her influence and upon him so that her idolatry and her wickedness might continue? You see, ultimately, there's a selfishness there. But what we understand is that, mothers, you are counselors. And how are you counseling your children? Are they learning the ways of God, or are they learning the ways of the world? Are they learning to worship the one true God, or are they worshiping the idols that you have built in your own life? You know, this could go, you could narrow this all the way down to the things that you do, the shows that you watch, the way you spend your time. All of those things your children watch and are influenced by. If you choose to not make fellowship with other believers a priority, what do you think your children are going to grow up to do? Well, if mom didn't make it a priority, then it must not be that important. And you could go down the line, devotions, spending time in the Word of God, the TV shows that you watch, your standards, all of those things. Yes, we have influence, great influence over our children. We're going to go now to Herodias. And of course, as we hear that name, not a pleasant picture, because if we understand who Herodias is, she is the woman that her daughter danced before Herod, and Herod said, "I will give you whatever you ask." And we'll see what happens here in Matthew chapter 14. Many of you probably know the story. And I want to make it very clear that Herodias here, I believe, is not a follower of Jesus, follower of God, not a Christian, not a believer in Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice here that she exerted great influence over her daughter. Matthew chapter 14, verse 6. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, "Give me here John Baptist's
head and a charger. And the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her, and he sent and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. Now I am unsure as to why. Oh, I know why. Herodias and Herod, they were having a adulterous affair, and John the Baptist had spoken out against this. And of course, this was not something that Herodias liked. Now, here's a mom who is living in sin and now has her daughter entangled within it. Her daughter becomes part of the whole process, entangled mess of sin. Now, granted, we can't expect much more from an unbeliever. But notice the influence that her mother had over her daughter's life. It was powerful. So much so that it taught this lesson. We don't need to respect human life. There's no value to it. We can kill whom we want to kill. It doesn't matter. What a powerful lesson to teach your child. Moms, we have influence. You have influence. One other negative is that found in Matthew 20, verse 20. And this is the mother of James and John. Many of you remember the story, but Matthew 20, verse 20, it says, "Then came to him," to Jesus, that is, "the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? And she said unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on thy left in thy kingdom." Now this is mom, okay? This is mom asking on behalf of her two grown sons who have been followers of Jesus Christ for at least a year, if not 2 years at this point, maybe more. And mom comes and asks this question: give my sons the privileged positions in the kingdom. Jesus, it would be interesting to see, did he ever roll his eyes? Did he ever sigh deeply and wonder, oh, these people? Well, Jesus answered and said, verse 22, "You know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They say unto him, "We are able." And he said unto them, "You shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father." And Jesus then goes on and he speaks about leadership. And he says, "Whomsoever," verse 27, "will be chief among you, let him be your servant." So here we have a mom of two grown sons, followers of Jesus Christ, and she comes and she seeks the highest positions for her sons. Now, what kind of message is this communicating? What is this sharing or telling these men and even other people that are listening? Well, mom desires her children to have privilege. And she's asking for it. You know, we know from Jesus and his ministry that seeking things for ourselves and seeking our own interests is not the way God would want us to live. We are to seek the Lord and the interests of others. Are we having that kind of influence upon our children? You see this today in many instances at school with situations where a kid gets in trouble. And you have a parent that gets all uptight about their child getting in trouble. And they go to bat for their child against the school because their child is a troublemaker, but they don't like them being treated as one. What kind of message are we teaching our children when we are condoning wrong actions and putting down authority in front of our very children? So, as we think about the influence as mothers, specifically tonight, that we have upon our children, there are many ways that we can negatively impact our children. But positively, it is just as effective. It is just as powerful. And I'm glad for that truth. I mean, just like we have the influence and the ability to impact our children for negative things, we also can do it positively. And just because we've been a negative influence in the past doesn't mean we have to continue or to just relegate ourselves that the damage has been done. Change is good, and our children notice change. They will notice we are different, and that will have an impact on their lives. Have you ever gone to your child and confessed sin to them and asked them to forgive you? That's assuming that you've ever sinned against your children. I have. And recognizing you've sinned against your child, you go to them and confess, "Daddy was wrong. What I said was not right, or what I did was not right. Will you forgive me?" That has a profound influence on your children. They see the change of heart. You know what? That's going to help them someday when they do something. They know they've done wrong. Well, if Daddy can do it, if Mommy can do it, I should do it too. Scripture gives us a couple positive influences from mothers. We'll go to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. We're not going to look at the second half. We're going to look at the first half of this chapter. 31:1 says this: "The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him." How about that? Here is a king, King Lemuel. Now, we don't know who he is, but here he writes something that his mother taught him. And for sake of time, we won't read all of these verses, but I'll just give you an idea of what he says. He says that his mother taught him to not give his strength to women, to not give himself to strong drink, to plead the cause of the poor and needy. What a blessing it was for this man to have that kind of mother. As he steps into the role as a king, he had these thoughts ringing in his mind. Don't give yourself over to women. We saw that in Solomon's demise. He gave himself to women and the idolatry that went with that. Give not yourself to strong drink. And in this passage, it very clearly describes the power of alcohol upon a person's life and how you lose the ability to make clear and sound judgments. Don't give yourself to drunkenness. And to please the cause of the poor and needy. You know what she taught her son? It's not all about you. It's not all about you, son. There are people, needy people, that need what you have. And the power you have, and the money, and the influence that you have, you can better them and help them. It's not all about you. You know what? Our children need to hear that. One of the dangers of families today is that they have become child-centered. Many marriages crumble because the family is centered upon the children, and all influence, time, and efforts goes into the children rather than the relationship of husband and wife. And it's no wonder that as the children leave, you're left with strangers in the house. You see, we can have a profound influence as parents, mothers, upon your children. And we see this positive influence here in King Lemuel. Eunice in 2 Timothy chapter 1. We looked at her today briefly this morning. But I just want to remind us of this of her important role that she played in the life of Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Again, this is the last recorded letter that we have from the Apostle Paul to Timothy. And Timothy became a partner of the Apostle Paul in his missionary journeys, and he helped the Apostle Paul, administered, and became a very confident leader, and one who Paul was confident in and appreciated. But notice what he says here, verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Is there any question the profound influence that this mom and grandmother had upon their son, grandson? Paul recognizes this faith that existed there. Moms, do your children see your faith? Do they see you making decisions that maybe don't make human sense logically, but yet they make them because they know they're the right thing to do? Because God is their number one priority. Faith. We can have a profound influence upon our children, and faith needs to be a part of that. And I want to make mention of Hannah. We don't need to turn there, but in 1 Samuel chapter 1, we read the account of Hannah and her journey from barrenness, from not able to have children, to God giving her Samuel. And we know that she promised to give Samuel over to the work of the Lord. And what we see is we see the testimony of Samuel as a young boy. And we don't know exactly how old he was when he began this service, but it had to be at such a point where he was able to exist without his mother's care. And we see a young man that is serving God. Where did he get that teaching, instruction? He got it from his mother. He got it from his mother, who was a woman who prayed, was a woman who believed God, was a woman who kept her promises and her vows to the Lord, was a woman who cared for her son. You know, every year she came back and brought him a new coat. You know, God blessed her with more children. But you see in the life of Samuel, the profound influence of a praying and dedicated mother. So tonight, we've looked at the power of influence. The power that we can have upon the lives of our children, of the young people that God puts within our sphere of influence. And I trust that you have been challenged tonight to make that count for the good. To make your impact be one of eternal value in the sight of God. And we've seen examples tonight of both negatives and positives. And I trust that these will trigger in your mind and exhort you to making purposeful attempts to influence your little ones your young people, your grown children, in the things of the Lord. God, I want to thank you for encouraging us tonight and reminding us of the importance of mothers, of parents, and the profound influence that we have over our children. God, I pray that you'd give your church, your people, strength and help them, Lord, as they minister in their homes and families. In Jesus' name, amen.